may be going to work.
Ready?
May be going to work,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to you tonight and learn your word and delve deeper into your scriptures. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Jim being here to teach us tonight, and that we ask that you open up our hearts and minds to all of the messages you'll have for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1. Is Sharon coming tonight, Mike?
She's under the weather.
Under the weather. Yeah. My wife is also. Remember her in your prayers. Last night she had almost 104 fever. Whatever she's got, pray that I don't get it. All right. Or Dakota. Perry. Dave. Tone. Pneumocticone. Adelphoi. Ooh. Thello. Himas. Ognoane. All right. Moreover, concerning the things spiritual. The things spiritual. Moreover, concerning the things spiritual. Brothers. Brothers there. Look at the word pneumatikon. By the way, that is a neuter word. Spirit is a neuter word. The Holy Spirit is not neuter. He is masculine in gender. And it describes him with masculine attributes, but the word spirit is neuter. Okay? It is neuter. He's not a thing. He is he is part of the triune God, one of the personalities of the Godhead. Concerning the things spiritual, brothers, that is vocative, plural, masculine. What does brothers, what does that brother mean? Adelphos and Adelphe. What does that mean? Remember what Adelphos or Adelphi mean? I know Randall means those. From the same womb. And Adelphe. From the same womb. Not I wish. First person singular, present indicative active from Thello, which is exactly what it is. Okay? Ye. Accusative plural, second personal pronoun. Accusative plural, second person pronoun. To be not knowing. And that's infinitive. That means to remain not knowing. I don't wish you to remain not knowing. Now, spiritual things are real. What keeps people from being saved? What keeps people from being saved? Coming to know Jesus Christ. What does it? It is the spirit world. Let's go now to the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read that to you out of the Greek and translate it as we go. Verse number 12. Ephesians 6 and verse number 12. Go back to verse number 10 all the way. The remaining things be ye empowered in the Lord and in the might of his strength and the might of the strength of him. And then it says tie on and bind on the whole, the panopleon, the whole armor of the God for the tremendous power that you have available to stand toward the methods, the craftiness, the tricks, the deceitfulness, methodeos is what it is, of the diabolu. When we are born into this world, we're born in sin, aren't we? Adam is our father, unless we're Jesus Christ. His father's God. All right, he begat himself, so to speak. All right, through woman, so he could be related to us. But we're all afflicted with devilish and satanic and falling spirits and angels. We're afflicted with this. when we're before we're born again, the spirit that in, that gives us life also gives us death and also leads us astray. That's the spirit of deceitfulness and the spirit of rebellion that lives and empowers and energizes us. Okay? Verse number 12, because not it is to us the pale. That word pale, that means the wrestle in close quarters. Right inside. Wrestling in close quarters. Against Hima and Sarka. Against blood and flesh. We're not talking about physical human. Our wrestling is not in the human realm. Our wrestling is in the spiritual realm. And just as the same that there is the Spirit God and Spirit God's angels, the good angels, the guardian angels, and then we have the spirits that minister to us. There are fallen angels and evil spirits or demon spirits that lead us astray and keep us from God and will lead us away from God and God's things, God's stuff. Because not to us is the conflict against flesh and blood, but, strong adversative conjunction, against rulers. Against, that word, our case, that's ruler, the heads. The head rulers. And against authorities. And against world grabbers. That's what it says, they're world grabbers. Of the darkness. This. And against spiritual powers of the evil, belonging to evil in the heavenly places. That's what we fight against. We fight a warfare. We fight a warfare. The title of this message tonight is War. War. The warfare that we fight. I've been excited about teaching this for the last two or three weeks. And Sunday morning, the Lord willing, and they don't throw something at me or I fall over, I'm going to teach on hell. And the dire consequences of rejecting Christ and the dire consequences of not following Christ. In World War I, there was a man by the name of Sergeant York, Alvin York. He was a Christian man, and they drafted him into the army, and he didn't want to go. He was born in Tennessee, in Pall Mall, Tennessee, and December the 13th, 1887. And in World War I, you know, that was 1916, 17, 18. Anyway, in 1918, they drafted him into the war. And he went up on a hill, and he prayed and he prayed. He said, "Now, Lord, I don't have anything against those Germans over there at all. I don't know who they are or anything else." But he said, "I love my country, and I want to serve my country, and I want to protect my country, and I don't want those Germans coming over here and messing with my family in these here hills that I love." Now, he was really uneducated. He didn't get to go to school hardly at all. He could hardly read and write. There's a movie called Sergeant York that Gary Cooper played him in. You know that. Some of you have seen that. Well, the draft notice came for him to show up, and he went and showed up to him, and he said, "You know," and in the meanwhile, his father had died, and he could have stayed home. And his mother and his pastor, he was a Sunday school leader and a song leader in the church. He was a Bible student. He had been wild for a while, for several years, and the Lord convicted his heart of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. All the time he knew he was raised in church, but he went the wrong way. He just went wild. He went and joined, worked for a railroad and everything, and those people are rough people, and he's lived just as rough as any of them did. And finally, he came home, and his mama told him, he said, "Son, Alvin, when are you going to straighten up? You don't have the rest of your life." Anyway, he said he was going to quit drinking, quit smoking, and quit cussing and all the things, you know, that he'd been doing and living a wild life. And the preaching of a revival in that little old church, he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. He asked the Lord to forgive him of all that wildness and to save his soul and to make something out of him. Help me be a Christian witness. Help me do that. And the enlistment officer talked to him and he said, "You know what? I just don't think I can go over there and kill those people over there." He said, "Isn't there something you can do for me that, you know, I'm having trouble with this. I don't hate these people over there." Well, he said, "You just pray about it." He read some scriptures to him and everything else. He said, "Well, that's it. I'm going to go. I know I got to fight in the Lord's army. You know, I got to protect my country." So he went over there and he said war was like watching the Battle of Armageddon and the Antichrist in action. He was in this one place in the Argonne Forest in France. And he says there was a front line of Germans here and the second line over there. And they were mowing them down with machine guns. You know, they had gas bombs. People were being gassed. They had to wear their gas masks half the time. And he said when they would go front and try to move forward and attack, he said you were walking on nothing but bodies of horses and people. Very seldom could you even put your foot on ground. There were so many dead people there. There's thousands of dead people in this war. He got over there behind the second line of defense. And over there, a bunch of German officers were out there eating and they were having a conference. He slipped up on them and captured all of them. They had 7 people left after the other ones were shot down. And he captured them like that, and they committed the Germans in front of them, and they turned 35 machine guns on him. 35 machine guns. 35 machine guns. They turned on him. And completely surrounded him and started shooting at him. Well, they kept German soldiers out there, and he was standing up shooting for a long time. He's laying down shooting. And every time he shot, he'd kill a man. He never missed a shot. He was deadly. And he'd kill a man, and he'd say, "Now you people can surrender and come out here now. I don't want to kill any more of you." He killed 4, 5, 6 like that, and finally they sent down about 8 men after him. Coming right down after him with a bayonet. They're going to stab him. They can't shoot him, so they're going to stab him. Bullets are flying around. They're cutting the trees down all around him and everything else. I mean, bullets are going everywhere, and he says, "Well," he said, "Lord," he said, "I know you're with me. 1,000 fall on my left and 1,000 fall on my..." Every time he does anything, he's quoting scripture in his head. They call him the Christian soldier. People are being mowed down right and left. These guys come out here, he pulled these out, he's Colt 45, model 1911, and shot the last one first. That's the way he said it. That's why I shot turkeys. He said, "When I shot the turkey the furthest away first, and then I came this way. Because they didn't know you were killing them, you know. So I shot the furthest one in the back, and I just came toward and killed every one of them." And I said, "Now you guys can surrender. Come down here. I'll take you captive. You can surrender." And they start shooting at him again. So he just picked one more up, and they stick another head up. Finally, one of the generals down there that he had captured, he said, "Hold on here." He says, "Hold on." He said, "You're killing every one of these men." And he said, "I know you don't want to." And he spoke to him in English. He had lived in Illinois, in Chicago. He was a businessman in Chicago before he went back to Germany. And he told him, he blew a whistle, and all of them but one surrendered. The one came up at him with a gun. He shot him down and killed him. And he took them and made these German soldiers pick up and carry the wounded American soldiers back. They had to go through the second line and through the front line, and everybody was surrendering. And this general would blow his whistle and tell them to surrender. If they didn't surrender, Sergeant York could shoot them. Deadly. There on that one place, he fired 28 bullets and killed 28 men. One bullet for every man. One bullet for every man. Now, that's a pretty fantastic story. A general by the name of Lindsay came there later on. They wanted to see how in the world did this Alvin York capture the whole German army. He captured 131 men, and there were only 7 of them. The general said, "How many of you are there?" He said, "Enough." Me and the Lord. Enough! He marched them and they were carrying the soldier. They had the guns right in their back. And the German soldier, general, was whistling his whistle that they wouldn't surrender. Alvin York could kill them. Lindsay went back there and they looked at this and they looked at all the faith. I mean, every tree, every weed, every branch was shot to pieces. Except right where he stood. Right where he stood. You know why our warfare is like that? The devil's going to throw everything he's got at you. He's going to throw everything he's got at you. He got a Congressional Medal of Honor. You know, Audie Murphy was the most decorated soldier in World War II. And some of you have seen that pistol that Gary Cooper gave to him, awarded to him, that I have. I have a friend called Ed. He is a good friend of mine, Ed Riley. He lives in Phillips, Wisconsin. Ed is a very humble man. I've been talking to him on the radio for 30 years. He was a Marine. And I had to pry out of him what rank he was. And if he ever got any medals, I know he got medals. In Vietnam in 1966, they sent 2,500 Marines in one area, and when they got in there, there was 40,000 Viet Cong. 2,500 against 40,000. Out of that 2,500 people, only 51 Marines went out there alive, and Ed was one of them. And he was shot up pretty good. He got shot going trying to rescue one of these men, and he's a good shot. After he was wounded, he was there for 8 more days before one of those helicopter guys came in, paramedics came in, and he said they bombed. He said the sky for 3 weeks was lit up with nothing but shells and tracers. 24 hours a day, just boom, 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 the ground shaking to pieces. He said nobody slept. Hardly had anything to eat. We were saving each other's lives, and he said people were dying, and he said I was there, And I took a pencil paper out when somebody was dying. His last words, he said, tell my mother, tell my wife, tell my children this. And he'd write it down. Put his name down. Take his dollar tags or whatever. 2,449 of them died. Out of 2,500. Now that's something. 40,000 against 2,500. And I asked Eddie, I said, what did you do? He said, I just fought as hard as I could fight. He said, I went out there. He said, when they wanted to take me up, I said, leave me here, I'm going to fight. He said, man, you're bleeding all over. And he finally saw himself. He said, I was blood from the top to the bottom. They'd shot him through the helmet and just pierced his skull and blood was all over. He was shot through the leg and he was still fighting. All that time. 8 days he fought after he was wounded. 8 days he fought after he was wounded. That's part of war. He said millions of shells went off in the 3 weeks that he was there. Millions. Millions of shells. He said he lost so much blood that when he finally got on the helicopter and got out of there, he said bombers were coming by and just blowing the place up. And he said they were so close to us and just bombs going off everywhere and bullets are coming. And he said they had every kind of weapon pointed at us they could point at us. It's a miracle. You know that? Like Sergeant York. Like Audie Murphy went in there and absolutely... Audie Murphy killed 340 Germans hand-to-hand combat. That's something. I don't know how many Ed killed. He wouldn't even tell you. He was a corporal when he... Over that. He had Purple Hearts and different medals and everything. You have to pry it out of him. Every now and then I get him to tell a story. He'll talk for a while and then he'll start crying. He couldn't stand it. Remembering the warfare. He said he walked into, he had a television business where he put up television antennas back there, and he walked into one place and he'd go in there and this mother was in there with her son's picture on the wall from Vietnam and everything. And he walked in there and he said, where was your son? He told him, he said, that wasn't very far from where I was. Is he okay? And she said, no.
And she said, tell me what it was like. And he started trying to tell her what it was like, and he started crying. He said he couldn't do anything else. Just crying. Just crying. A strong man. Strong man. I'm going to tell you something, people. You fight in that type of warfare every day. It's here among us. We don't see it. Eddie saw those bombs. He said the sky was lit up for 3 weeks. Tracers and bullets, he said there wasn't a half a second went by without gunfire. Not a half a second in 3 weeks. And he stayed and fought for 8 days after he was shot to pieces. He lost so much blood he passed out. Woke up in a hospital. Moreover, the things spiritual, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant tonight. God's Spirit is dealing in your life, and the spirit of evil is there, and they're both real. Just as real as the ground you stand on and the air you breathe and the sky that we see in the air. It's real. It's for real. They went back there and took Sergeant York back to the very place, this General Lindsay. And he looked at him and he said, there's no way on earth. He said, I can't figure out how you did this. And Sergeant York looked at him and he said, it wasn't me. It was God. He said, it was a higher power. And that general was spitting cuss words out right and left. He said he cussed. He said he was a tremendous fighter, but he said he was a tremendous cusser. He cursed and cursed and cursed and cursed and used God's name and everything else you could think of. And he said, I told him, he said, it's a higher power than was me. It wasn't me that did that. And he looked at Sergeant York and he said, Sergeant York, I think you're right. I think you're right. Well, he went back to Pall Mall, Tennessee. He died September the 2nd, 1964. Eddie's still with us. I still get to talk to him nearly every day. He's a real hero. A real hero. Greatest hero I ever knew. And I know him. What happened to Sergeant York and Artie Murphy? When you put 2,500 against 40,000, that's pretty miraculous, isn't it? I think a higher power brought him home. A higher power. 12 and verse 2 now. 12 and verse 2. Oidate. Hote. Hote. Look at that. Different words, different spell, a little differently, sound the same. Ethne. Ete. Pros. Ta. Idola. Ta. Aphona. Hos. On. Egeste. Apa. Go. Minoi. When that ye have known, that's the way it is. When that ye have known nations, ye keep on being. Nations, look at the word nation, or ethne. That word here is, he's not using it as a, when we talk about your ethnic background, where are you from? We got a little Russian girl here from Russia. And I'm sure if you did your DNA, you'd see you had a little bit of German and a little bit of all over European. They went back and forth over there. When you look at my DNA, most of it's right here in the Americas and the little pieces of it over here and there in Europe, just little dribbles, Scotland, Spain, and Italy and France. He's not talking about background here. He's talking about heathens. He said, you people were heathens. You were Gentiles. You were dogs. All of you were dogs at one time. You people were a bunch of idolaters and heathens. You kept on being. Look at that word, second person plural, imperfect, indicative, active. You kept on being heathens. Well, I'll tell you one thing. When we're born into this world, we're heathens. We're born without God. We're born as active haters of God in all reality. And we kept on being toward the idols. We kept on loving idols. What is an idol? What is an idol?
It can be your husband. It can be your wife. It can be your children. It can be your car. It can be your... Some people have airplanes, you know. They like to fly airplanes. People, when they get off work on the weekend, they go out and get in their airplane and fly it. Or hobbies or whatever. These can become idols. All right? All of this can become idols. Whatever keeps you away from God can become an idol. And he said these idols are voiceless. No sound. They don't have any sound from them. But I'm going to tell you something about idols. Idols have power. Spiritual power. Spiritual power. They have spiritual power. They may be voiceless, but they have spiritual power. When somebody bows down to the Virgin Mary as an idol in a Catholic church, I'm going to tell you something. That idol has power. When you look at a painting, if you worship something like that, it has power. There's spiritual force behind it. It's for real, okay? He said, toward the voiceless, the no-sound idols. And then he says, hold on, however, you kept on being led. You kept on being led. Look at that word, ago there. In John 1:18, it says, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God. He has led himself out. That's the word there. You kept on being led. God led himself out of eternity into space and time in the person of Jesus Christ so you could save your soul. He kept on being led. Second person plural. Indicative and passive voice. What's passive voice mean? Somebody's doing it to you, huh? Who keeps on leading you the wrong way? Who keeps on doing it? Who keeps on leading you the wrong way? Spiritual forces. The ones we have God's spirit, we have spirits that serve God, and we have angels that serve God, and we have Adamic men that are related to Adam. I remember one time I went over to the coast and preached over there at an association meeting about 40 years ago, 35, something like 20, 35 and 40 years ago. I went over there and I always used to wear overalls. I had a firewood business and I wore overalls because they were real comfortable. And I had to pull my pants up when I'm out there sawing wood and all that stuff. Well, I threw a suit in there and I thought my wife put the rest of the stuff in there. I threw a couple of suits in. And when I got over there, I found out that I didn't have a white shirt on, didn't have a tie or anything. And I went down there in the very first meeting. The preacher was supposed to preach, didn't show up, and guess who's going to preach the next day? Yours truly. They wanted me to preach for all these 250, 300 preachers. I went down to J.C. Penney. You know that French place? And I walked in there with my overalls on. And this woman, she looked at me real funny and she said, you got to go to a funeral? I said, mine. I was going to buy a white shirt and a tie, you know. I said, I feel like it's mine. I said, I got to go preach for 250, 300 preachers, you know. I don't even have a shirt. I walked off and left my shirts and ties. So she sold it to me. I got up and preached. That was something. I went out to the pier, and I had one of my deacons with me at that time. And we went out there and went fishing on the pier. When I got back, I had bought, and I was late taking off because this drunk had run into the back of my car and tore my car completely up, and I had to go down and get another loan. He didn't have any insurance. An uninsured drunk. Illegal alien, a drug pusher, and hit and run. They wouldn't even arrest him. Can't get anything out of him. Cost me $7,500. Anyway, I couldn't hardly get a car. I finally got the car, just bought the car, took off over there, and I take this brand new car there, and here's my ham radio in it. You know, I have a ham radio antenna on it. I got back off that pier, and somebody had taken a bunch of fish bait and rubbed all over my brand new car, and took that fish and stuck it on my antenna. And I walked up there and looked at this and said, oh boy, I better wash this off. You know? And old Deacon O'Dale was there with me. He said, what in the world would possess somebody to do something like that? And I said, he's Adam's child. He's a child of Adam. What makes us do that? It's in our bloodstream. It's an infection from Adam that's evil. And the only thing that can lead you in the right direction in this life is to let that spirit be replaced. And it's not going to mean all the problems are going to go away. But I'll guarantee you one thing, you don't know where you're going to spend eternity. And you know you've got the Lord on your side. So when you have to stand up like Sergeant York did, or Artie Murphy, or Ed Riley did, in a 1,000,000-to-1 odds, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. I've been through so many near-death things, it's not hardly scary anymore. I've been near there all the time. Poisoned and shot and blown up and run over and stomped and everything you can think of. Almost killed out in the oil field so many times. Knocked out of a derrick one time. I grabbed some of it before I went down. I fell about 10, 15 feet and grabbed part of it, broke one of my ribs, grabbing a hold of the derrick as it was going by. And I'm glad it wasn't a full view. I'd have splattered on the floor. Over and over and over again, all these things. And you know what? It wasn't from my ability. It was who was with me. I was working derrick for this guy one time. They called him Killer Mosley because he killed about 4 or 5 people. I figured it out. He was reckless. I was working derrick about 65 feet off the ground up there, and we were working with elevators. That's the thing you hook up the pipe with. I was a derrick man. I'd reach out there and slam the pipe in there. These elevators were worn out. We didn't have OSHA then to protect you from them. And I had to take a sledgehammer and beat that door shut when I got the pipe in it. And all this while the sparks are flying. Well, I couldn't get it off either. So we were coming out of the hole and I was pulling it off there. And I'd throw rope around it and pull the elevator back so the weight would... Those blocks are heavy. You know, there's thousands of pounds. And I'd be beating on it with a hammer trying to get them loose. And I'm screaming and hollering at him to slow down because it wasn't coming loose. And he laid the blocks all over me, all over the elevators and the elevator links and the blocks were all over the monkey board with me. And I'm up there on the monkey board with these thousands of pounds of iron and steel and cable all over me. I threw the hammer at the driller and woke him up. He wasn't looking up. But I made it through that. Another time he laid a Kelly on me. Because he wasn't paying attention. He just looked at the pipe. That's all. He didn't pay attention to what was going on over there. That's why he killed so many people. I finally told him, I said, I'm not working derrick for you anymore because you're stupid. You're going to have to put somebody up there stupider than you. I'm not going back up in the derrick. I said, I work down here on the floor with you. Up there, I can't get your attention. I'll throw something at you down here and holler at you and maybe you'll see me. All of those things. It wasn't me. I was quick. I was strong. But it wasn't me that brought me through all those things. I've had contracts put on me. Had people try to kill me, poison me, here a while back. And here I am. It wasn't because of me. It's because of a higher power. Right here in verse number 2, it says, the voiceless idols. You kept on being led astray. You kept on being led, and you kept on being led astray. Ago and apago. Apo means from. You kept on being led away from God. Away from God. 12 and verse 3. Deo, norizo, himen, hote, utes, en numati, theu, lalon, Legay, anathema, Asus, Kai, Udes, Dinate, Epain, Kyrios, Asus. A, me en numati hagiu. Wherefore, or on which account I make known to ye that no one in spirit of God speaking, he says anathema. Now there's anathema and anathema. It's got a, this one here is alpha, nu, alpha, theta, epsilon, mu, alpha, and there's one after the theta there, there's an eta. There's two different ones. They have a little bit different meanings to them. Anathema. Have you ever heard of seeing somebody's anathema? That means cursed. They anathemize people out of the Catholic Church and different churches, and the Jehovah's Witnesses will anathemize people out of them. The Mormons, usually the Mormons, they used to send somebody to kill you. They did that. They killed thousands of people. Anathema. That word is very, very important. It's ana and thema, which means to place up. To place up. Okay? To place up. Anathema. Ana. Antiphony. I'm writing in Hebrew. All right. Start writing backwards. Analexic-like. Dyslexia. Anatithemy. Tithemy means to place. And to place up. What in the world is it talking about? To place up. Anathema, to place up. Back in ancient pagan times, Paul uses all kinds of pagan terms. Because they were these pagans were familiar with pagan terms. Okay? And back in the pagan temples, somebody would bring in something and they would dedicate it to the temple. They would dedicate a shield. When David killed Goliath, do you know what he dedicated to the temple? Do you know what he dedicated? What? What?
I thought it was a spear.
He dedicated Goliath's sword. It was in there. It stayed there. That was dedicated. That was, you could never redeem it back. You couldn't get it back. All right. If they take a family shield or a plate that had been in your family 200 or 300 years, when you dedicated it to the temple, when you took it, it was anathema. You could not redeem it back. You couldn't buy it back. I don't care how much you wanted this object. If you dedicated it to the temple, it was unredeemable. So, look what he's saying here. Anathema. Jesus. Christu. Find my paperwork in a minute. Anathema. Jesus. And no one is able, is powerful enough to say, Lord Jesus, if not, is Spirit holy, he says it. Now you've got to go back and see what in the world is going on here. This isn't something that we can understand just lightly. Okay? There was a man by the name of Polycarp. Polycarp, it comes from Polycarpos. Polycarpos. He was John's disciple. Polycarpos. Polycarpos. What does Polycarpos mean? Huh? It was a very fitting name. It means much or much beatings or much persecution. Polycarpos, much beating. Much beating. That's what his name. He was John's disciple. He said that he lived 86 years after he was saved. 86 years after he became to know the Lord Jesus Christ. His lifetime was about, he was born about AD 69, just before the temple at Jerusalem was destroyed. And he died somewhere between 155 AD and 168 AD. So he was close to 100 years old when he died, or near it. Okay? Many people think he died around 155, and other people said, well, he said he'd been saved for 86 years, so it had to be that he was died, killed in 68 or 69 or whatever A.D. Okay?
So he would have been about 100 years old.
Real close to it. He was a preacher. He said that chains and collars and manacles and all that kind of stuff, he said that was ornaments of grace. Ornaments of grace. He said that's what Christians end up being. Because Christians were heavily persecuted back then by the Roman Empire. First of all, who was the first persecutors of Christians?
The Jews.
The Jews persecuted them. Paul persecuted Christians. And when he arrested Christians, you know what he made them say? You know what he made them say? When Paul arrested Christians, he said, "You say that Jesus is cursed. That Jesus is a curse. You say that he is a curse." You know, the Jews hated the name of Jesus. They spit when they spoke the name of Jesus. They hated him. And they would say, "You say that Jesus is cursed. And you swear allegiance to the God Adonai only." Well, Adonai is Jesus. Paul the Apostle held the knife to many people's throats and shed their blood. He murdered people. He destroyed whole churches until the Lord got a hold of him. He did. You know who was doing that? What was empowering Paul? His name was Saul at that time, you know, Saul. What was empowering him? He was on the Sanhedrin court. He was an officer of the Sanhedrin court. He was a big shot in Judaism. What was empowering him? He was religious, but what was empowering him to do wrong? Spirits that we're talking about tonight, the spiritual thing. The spirits that lead people and keep them from coming to the Lord. The spirits are real. Bullets are real. You know what a bullet is? I can show you some bullet holes. You want to see some bullet holes? There's one right here on my cheek. One right by there. Marilyn was shooting one day and she shot me. And there was a bullet in my ear. And my ear was bleeding. And part of the bullet was still in my ear. And I said, "You shot me." And all, she just went on shooting, you know. But then I showed her later on. I said, "There's a piece of that bullet in there." Finally, it came out later on. Bullets are real. Cars are real. You go down the road 70 miles an hour and you just look over there and they just look like they're standing still right there by you. But you just make the wrong move and see what happens. And see all the iron and the fire and the smoke and squealing and blood. The spirit world is real. The spirit world is real. Polycarp said that chains and collars and manacles and beatings were ornaments of grace. And his name meant many beatings. John the Apostle led him to Jesus. How many of you like to say that? That the Apostle John led you to Jesus. The Apostle John led Polycarp to Jesus. He told him he was a sinner and he needed to be saved. And Polycarp confessed and he became saved and he was baptized. And the Apostle John went over there with the church of Smyrna. What does Smyrna mean? Smyrna. Remember what Smyrna means? Randall, you know. Smyrna. Suffering. The suffering church. Remember when the Apostle John wrote the seven churches, the church, the book of Revelation, and they had the seven churches of Asia. One of them was Smyrna. And he didn't have anything bad to say about Smyrna, the suffering church. Well, Polycarp was a pastor of that suffering church. He was a pastor of it. Boy, that's the one that he's got good things to say about is Smyrna in the book of Revelation. He was ordained by that church at Smyrna and John the Apostle laid his hands upon him. And they arrested Polycarp and he was an old man and the guards that even wouldn't arrest him because he wouldn't say anathema Jesus. He wouldn't curse Jesus' name. He said, "How can I do it? For 86 years, Jesus has watched over me. God has taken care of me. He said, how could I use His name in vain? How could I deny Him when my Savior died for me? How could I do it? Back when this was written, you didn't name the name of Christ. You didn't say Jesus was my Lord unless you were going to die for it. You said Jesus is my Lord, it would cost you your life. It cost Polycarp his life. It cost him his life. If you name Jesus, if you ask Jesus in your heart tonight, if you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins and save my soul forever, you're protected with the same kind of protection that Audie Murphy had, that Sergeant York had, that Ed Riley had over in Vietnam. 40,000 against 2,551 of them was the only ones that made. There was 2,449 that died in that battle. And that battle lasted about 3 or 4 weeks. How would you like to fight for 3 or 4 weeks in solid warfare with bullets flying and the skies lit up and no sleep, hardly any food to eat or anything else, bleeding all the time? Well, you're fighting that kind of warfare today because you're in it. You don't see it, but it's here. It's really here. Polycarp was arrested. And they begged him all the time. They were taking him to the court and they say, please just say you love Caesar and say Lord Caesar, Kyrios Caesar. He said, I can't do it. I can't deny my Jesus. I just can't do it. They got him up there and they said, will you finally confess that Caesar is Lord and say Jesus is anathema? He said, I can't do it. They built great big, they tied him to a stake. And they put ropes on him and tied him to the stake. And they set all this great big bonfire on fire. You know what Polycarp was doing all the time this was going on? He's singing Christian hymns. Smiling and singing. Tell him, repent, for Jesus Christ will save you your sins. All you have to do is look to Him and believe. Repent and look and believe. Until the ropes were burned up. And they know what they're going to do. The fire wasn't killing him. He's standing there just like he was protected from it. And they said, get a man with a sword. So they sent several people into the fire to kill him with a sword. And they died. Finally, as the flames died down more, they sent a man in and he stabbed him right in his heart and ripped him open. And the blood gushed out. And Polycarp went to be with the Lord. But what a Christian witness for all of these years. That's one of the most fantastic miracles. God had a job for him to do, and he saw him through the fire. When Ed Riley was there and the sky was lit up for 3 or 4 weeks, God was with him. There was a circle of angels around him. When I was poisoned here a while back, and I went through misery, the Lord brought me through. Sergeant York stood there and shot 28 bullets and killed 28 Germans with them sending thousands of shells at him. Standing there in all the trees, shot down in nothing but splinters all around him. 35 machine guns. You know, machine guns can shoot really fast. The higher power. You have a high power calling you tonight to salvation, calling you to service too. You got a higher power. Wherefore I make known to you that not one in the Spirit of God speaking, he says, anathema, Jesus. He's not going to say that. If you're saved, you can't say that. Polycarp couldn't say it. Right up until they burned up all the firewood. Sent people in to kill him. And it wasn't his time until the last one made it. And no one is able to say, Lord Jesus. They had to say, Lord Caesar, Lord Nero, Adonai, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You know, the Caesars are looked upon as what? Deity. You can't serve this world and serve the Lord at the same time. You know that. You can't do it.
You've got one Lord in your life. That's it. Except in spirit holy. Look at that. Spirit holy. Which spirit is going to take over your life tonight from this day forward? Which spirit? They're there and they're real, just as real as and concrete as the ground you walk on. Michelle was walking down this boardwalk out here. That boardwalk echoes when nobody's around, doesn't it, Michelle? You just hear your footstep down there. It's real wood underneath you. Real wood. And it's solid. But the angels and the spirit world is just as real as that. Just as real as the room we're in today. Just as real as the lights you turn on. You go over there and you flip that switch and you expect those lights to come on. Expect that, don't you? 12 and verse 4. Dia Ferres. De caris matum. Essen. To. De alto numa. But difference of spirits. Difference. But differences. That means dividing and distributing. That word's used three times in the New Testament. That word dia eresis. Distributed throughout gifts. They are. But the same spirit. Now you're going to start talking about spiritual gifts here. I'll tell you what the most important gift there is. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for in grace. That's the word charisma right there. For in grace, for in a gift. Ye are having been saved. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? You are having been saved. Rebecca, you like being saved? That's real good, isn't it? You know where you're going, huh? Michelle, you like being saved? Penny, you like being saved, don't you? Would you have it any other way? Brother Mike? You like being saved?
Amen.
Yeah, it's good. Rose, Roger, Randall, Corey, we like that, don't we? It's nice to know that you've got the security of all the powers of the universe behind you to protect you in this terrible spiritual polycarp out there of many beings that you go through in your life. When you get saved, you just are called by a higher power. Called by higher power. The most important gift that you will ever have is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When Polycarp died at that stake, and it wasn't the fire that killed him, was it? But God, he was finished. He had finished his course. We have to live each day as if it's the last day we're going to live. What would you have done today if you knew this was going to be the last day you're going to be alive? What would you have done? What you did? Huh? What you did? If you knew this was the last day you're going to be alive, would you do what you did today? What would you want to do? The last day. I know what Randall did. He'd probably work on the website half the day. He's doing real spiritual things. I thank God for him. Thousands of people are hearing the gospel every day all over the world because of him. What would you do if this was the last day that you were going to live? What would you do? What difference decisions would you make? If you're lost in here tonight, you don't have to walk out of here lost. If you're saved in here tonight and not living like you ought to, then God can take care of that too. You've got armies behind you, people. If you're not saved, you've got armies against you. You've got myriads and myriads of evil spirits and angels holding you and pulling you away from God. Those spirits don't leave us alone, do they? We wrestle not against what? When we start out, we talked about the war tonight. We talked about war. And we're in a war all the time. Stephen was going to go join the Navy, weren't you, Stephen?
I was.
Yeah. You'd have been in war. I can tell you that much. We've got a pretty good sized war going on over there right now. And you're in danger. If you have the Lord on your side, don't matter what happens. It's a bullet. Audie Murphy said, it's the one that you don't hear that killed you. Is that right, Brother Roger? Roger was there.
How many helicopters you were shot down in?
A couple
of helicopters. You wore a couple of them out. All that fire and all that poison and all that gas. And you're here. You came through it. You, when you were there, you didn't know whether you were going to make it or not, did you? No. When I've been down and out, sometimes I didn't know whether I was going to make it or not. And sometimes I didn't want to make it. I'd say, Lord, I am ready. I've had it. I've had all of this I can stand. Like Polycarp means much beatings. Had a lot of beatings. Probably needed them. It was good for me. Even being poisoned was good for me, I guess. The Lord wouldn't let it happen. But He wasn't finished with me yet. Didn't know what I was doing half the time. But when I get up here and preach, I tried to do my best because that's the only thing I knew that was real. I was in a dream world. You know, that mercury and arsenic drives you crazy. I just prayed that God will let me keep some of my marbles left. So I could serve Him. Let's have a word of prayer. We got the first four verses of this chapter. I want you to all bow your heads and pray with me. Every one of you needs something, don't you? Everybody here needs something. You do. Maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you need to just give your life to the Lord. Sometimes people get called as missionaries. Sometimes people are missionaries. How much are you going to keep of this world and take with you? Nothing. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. I pray as these words go out throughout the world that they'll touch people's lives. I pray if there's one lost out there that they will realize that they're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces, world grabbers. If they're lost, they need to be saved. You need to get on God's side. You need God's protection. Audie Murphy and Sergeant York and Ed Riley, when they went into those wars, it was a higher power that brought them through. And if you're lost here today or out there listening weeks from now, it's a higher power that can save your soul and forgive your sins and use you. Just ask the Lord to save your soul, forgive your sins. Say, I want Jesus as my Savior. I want to make Him Lord of my life. I believe that He is God the Son, that He is my Savior, that He's Jehovah in flesh. I believe that He can carry my sins away and become Lord of my life. And I can say, Lord Jesus, like Polycarp did. Like Sergeant York did. Said it wasn't me. It wasn't me that whipped all those Germans and captured the whole German army. It was a higher power. Tonight, it's a higher power that can save your soul. It's a higher power that can give you the strength to go on each and every day and to help you to be the best mother, the best wife, the best husband, the best friend, the best missionary. And we're all missionaries. Wherever we go, we're a missionary or a mission field. Forgive us for everything, Father. Help us to glorify You with our lives. Thank You for Your Word that gives us life. Thank You for each one of those little golden nuggets and pearls that are in it that we see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
We'll come back next week if you want one of those books over there, get you one. And go out and do something what? Eternal. But Mike, you want Sunday night's class?
Or do you like? Yeah, I will.
Okay.